Appreciate y'all. I felt, I really did feel God's presence in this place as we all were able to worship him together. So thank you for that. And thank you for having me once again. Today, as we have heard, the passage is on being an honorable vessel. Now, there were many stories I wanted to share with regards to this. And I think after seeing what I... or experiencing what I've seen today, perhaps I will encourage us with this before we begin. When you think of someone who is an honorable vessel for the Lord, do you have someone in mind? For me, I have someone in mind. I won't name the person's name, but when I think of this person, thoughts of love, tenderness, care, compassion, joy. These words come to mind. And I wonder for ourselves, do we have anybody in our midst like that? I wonder if we would be so bold to encourage this person if we know of them or if we have them in our midst, to tell them and to share with them how beautiful they are in the Lord. Because the opposite is also quite true. In this world that we live in, especially in our climate today, we do see quite a number of people who may not seem as a vessel of honorable use. That being said, I won't ask you to name names, or I won't ask you to think of those who might fall into that category, but I think given the choice, we would rather spend time with those who might be more uplifting to us. We might be inclined to spend more time and to even pursue these kinds of qualities that these people might exude. More than that, though, I do wonder if we could be more like Christ, as the song had reminded us, to be more like imitators of Christ. But to that end, our scripture today talks about being an honorable vessel. And it is from Paul, writing to his dear son, his spiritual son, Timothy. And he encourages his people in that way. For the sake of time, I will not repeat what we just read. What you will see is the ESV version, which is my preferred version. But we will begin as I pray for us. God, we thank you again for your time, for your presence here among us. And I thank you, God, that you've given us an opportunity to worship you together as your children. Father, regardless of where we come from and what we've been experiencing through life, whether we're going through the joys or the lows, you are the same God. You are for us, and you seek the lost. And those who are found in you, they have life and life in abundance. Father, we thank you that you have given us an opportunity to be your children, and that we might also have this life in abundance as we live out this eternity on this side. May we seek you today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, friends, there are 3 points to this sermon. We'll go through them in time. Just a question for us. Today, as I've come here, I used the GPS. And it directed me the right way, thankfully. How many of us do use GPS everywhere you go now? Yes, okay, some of us are really good and they don't need GPS. You're amazing, that's really great. I rely on it all the time now. It just, for some reason, it allows me not to even think while I'm driving. The point of a GPS, however, is to get you to the place, to the destination in the right way. Now, long time ago when GPS started coming out, it was kind of iffy. You've heard stories where it directed you into dead ends, into roads that don't exist. I remember when Waze first came out, Waze was really good. I used Waze because it allowed us to know where the police were. Because you could actually put in the app, if you see a police person, and then, you know, the more people do that, the more you know there's a police coming up. So I relied on that quite a lot in my younger days. I still do that nowadays. Apple Maps, when it first came out, wasn't really that great. People didn't really use it much. I don't think people still use it. I don't know. Do people still use Apple Maps? Yeah? Yeah, because it's integrated to your CarPlay, right? That's really the reason. Yeah, because you don't have Android Auto or something like that. I don't know. But yes, now Google is everything. So I love it. But what I love about it is, again, it updates as you go, and it is correct most of the time. Like even today, the 401 was closed. I didn't know. But I got here safely, and Google told me, and it was great. So thank you to Google Maps. That being said, when we are to be honorable vessels, when we are to be vessels for God, the intention is to bring people to the destination in the right way, in a way that will not lead them astray, in a way that we will get them to the place as hopefully as quickly and as safely as possible. Now, we don't want to be ways. That doesn't always work, and it only tells you what not to do, right? We don't want to be like that. I'm not saying that we have to be Google Maps either, but what I am saying is we do have to handle ourselves in the right way so that people, when they do see us and when they do encounter us, we can be a good representation, that we can be an imitator of Christ. But to that end, this is how Paul challenges Timothy. Again, Paul is about to expire. He is at the end of his life, and he is encouraging and he is charging Timothy to these things. This word charge is a solemnly to declare and to emphatically charge. It isn't a suggestion. It isn't a mere, hey, it would be nice if you could. It is a, hey, I charge you. I command you. I am about to go now. You must do this. You must tell people the right ways to do things, because in context, there were a lot of believers who were being led astray. There was a lot of persecution. There were a lot of, should I follow this God in this exact way? Because I could just blend in with the culture and say I follow God, but do what culture does, and I won't be persecuted, and I would be okay. There were a lot of things that were sliding, and we don't want that to be happening to us. He is charging his people to follow his ways. He also tells him, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. The translation could be to be zealous, to present yourself, not to people, but to God. Don't bring your best to the people to go with the flow and to say what they want to hear. But no, be zealous in presenting yourself to God himself as one approved by God. Because as a worker, you won't need to be ashamed, but you must handle the truth in the right way. Now, the connotation here is this. If you've had siblings before, or you know there are children that, you know, they have to split something, perhaps it is a cake, a piece of cake, and they have to split it. Now, I get this at home often. I must cut this cake in an absolute straight line. There is no deviation allowed. Because if somebody gets a bigger portion than the other, then I apparently am in trouble. That being said, at home, we don't do that. We just say, oh, you have the smaller piece? Well, that piece is mine now because you're complaining. That's what we do. However, the connotation is that we must handle this piece of scripture with an absolute straight line where there is no deviation. A farmer, when he plows his field, if he goes around and does all this, it's all messed up. And that's what we're trying to do here. Paul is encouraging Timothy to handle the truth rightly, and just so that we are aware, for us here today, one challenge for us is this. Do we know our faith well? Is there more that we can know of our faith? As a matter of fact, do we know our faith here and also down here into our heart? Do we know and live and experience the truth that God has sacrificed his son for us, that through him we are saved, we are redeemed, that we have this life of abundance, that we can live daily, that we can enter his courts with joy, we can sing with gladness? Can we live that out every single day? Or is that something that we just know up here and reserve for Sundays, and perhaps a fellowship night? Because obviously when we go to work, we may not all have it here and here all the time, but that is a challenge for us to handle our faith in a way that is pleasing to God. Now, furthermore, he also tells us to avoid irreverent babble, or in other translations, it will be impious or wicked babble. It will lead people into more and more ungodliness as their talk will spread like gangrene. Gangrene, we don't have to go into detail. It is gross. It is not something you'd like to have on your body. Now, that being said, some of them, Hymenaeus and Philetus, have swerved from the truth. They have been saying things like, well, the resurrection has already happened. There will be no need for a bodily resurrection, which at the time, the Greeks are down with that. They're not believing in that. They don't want to be persecuted, so they'll go with the Greek belief. However, that is not what Jesus calls us to. Now, all that to say, for us, as we think about being a vessel for God, we can be nice and clean and pristine on the outside, but I do wonder what we have on the inside. Do we have the knowledge of God's love, the truth of God's love? Do we also have the experience of God's love in us to the point where we can bring this wherever we go? Or are we allowing the world to pour into our vessel? When we're at school or when we're at work, when things happen, do we say, hey, time to spill the tea? Time to talk about this person in this way and join in all that stuff. The world is trying to get us to do different things. But as we are vessels for Christ, as imitators of Christ, are we holding on to the truth? Question for us as we reflect on this portion here, how is our biblical literacy? In my many years, I have heard many people say, well, I'm not really growing in my faith. I'm not really growing in my love or knowledge of God. I'm not learning at church, which is fair. I spent 12 years hearing that. And to a degree, that is true. The church should be able to help. But at the very same time, the onus is on us if we are not growing. We can take that step and learn more. To those that might be a little more mature in your faith, may I challenge you to take some courses at perhaps a seminary that Victor may have gone to. I don't know if he would recommend that institution anymore, but you can take audit courses. They're like $300. I don't know how much they are, but they're about $300. And you get to learn everything in that course. You can do all the papers. You won't get graded, but you can learn so much. Like, if you're in a stage of life where you're like, I'm just not really learning much nowadays, go take an audit course. Go learn. Be filled. Do we feel like we are approved or do we feel ill-equipped? God wants you to know more about him. God encourages you to do that. When we are faced with people at work asking tough questions, do we feel like we can handle the truth correctly? One last tip is what I've done recently is if we are on the Instagram or the social media, might I challenge you to add a reputable source once every week? After every Sunday, the next day you go back on your thing, just remember, hey, let me add, like, the algorithm will tell you, okay? The algorithm will give you more of that stuff. Recently, I've been following Philip A. Mitchell from 2819 Church. He's a really good one. If you want, like, nice, easy stuff, pastors with props, that's a good one. There's, like, little object lessons, 20 seconds of your day, boom, you learn something. It's awesome. So just keep putting that into you, all right? Every week, just do that. Because the more you fill yourself with his presence and his word, the more it comes out, yeah? So not only that, though, the whole thing is, even if you have all of that in you, are we able to handle others with care and compassion? Remember, I was asking us to think of a person who exudes these qualities of being an honorable vessel. This person may have gentleness and empathy. This person might exude the fruits of the Spirit. The opposite, again, is true. And so I wonder, as we think about this person, or we think about ourselves today, or we think about Christ, where in the spectrum might we land? And as you think about that, What are these honorable vessels? In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some honorable use, some dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, and ready for every good work. In context, in a house, there are different articles that you use. For example, some of us in our homes, we have the guest plate. When you are hosting, you have a special set that you host with, especially if it's a really nice occasion. How many of us have that? I don't know if we have that at home. Yeah? Okay, that's good, because that tells me that you probably have the gift of hospitality, and those things are very important to you, which is amazing. Which is also very true in this context as well. Not that you would have, like, a lot of this, but there are things that you would use for serving. There are also things that you would use for waste disposal. You never want to mix the two together. Both are useful. They serve a purpose, right? But you never want to mix the two together. You don't want to use the thing you clean the washroom with to clean your dishes. It's gross. Don't do that, okay? But the point of this is, all of us here do serve a purpose to some extent. All of us here can either bring or be a vessel that brings the serving dishes, the delicious food, or we could be a vessel for dishonorable use as waste disposal. So, what should we aim for? Are we able to cleanse ourselves from the dishonorable use and be set apart as holy, useful, or ready? Now, we kind of know what it means to be set apart, to be holy. When it's using this word here, I love that it's using the past perfect tense, which means you have been sanctified completely. You are set apart as holy, sanctified completely. You shall be holy, for I am holy. That is from 1 Peter. But what does it mean to be set apart truly? In verse 22, it gives us a hint. He says to Timothy, who's supposed to be a future leader of the church, flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. As we hear these words, as we are challenged to pursue righteousness and faith and love in peace, where in our lives can we have more of that? I understand it is very difficult for us to do that on our own, which is also why he calls us to do this along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Again, being set apart as holy does not mean that we have to be super holy all the time. It does mean, though, we have to pursue these things and flee from the temptations of the world. It also says that we have to be useful to the Lord. We have a saying, or I have a saying, if you're not helping, get out of the way. Some of us resonate with that. Again, I have 4 children, so when they try to help, they're not really helping. Right? Now, as they have grown, they have become more helpful. It takes time. Now they're doing chores to earn their own, like, screen time. It's great. Our oldest daughter, she uses, like, the vacuum mop nowadays. It's the best. Every day, it's clean. For us, however, I wonder, are we being helpful to the Lord as a vessel? And I'll tell you just a quick story. I know somebody, I have worked with somebody, who, for some reason, have fallen under the impression that in order to be holy, they have to be on fire for God all the time, no questions asked. To the point where if they are doing something that may not be considered holy, then the Lord may not be pleased. To the point where, even if they are washing dishes and they are not doing it for the Lord, then there is something wrong. To the point, and this is what really got me. If I'm doing dishes and I'm not in the right mood, or I'm saying the wrong things in my head, and Jesus came at that time, will I still be saved? Now, to the person who told her these things, I'm sure they were trying to help. I'm sure they were trying to encourage this person to be set apart. They were trying, and they were using the whole lukewarm verse in Revelations. They were trying to get this person to be a little more on fire for God. However, I'm not sure this person handled the truth correctly to the point where this person has gone astray a little bit. And so if I was to ask you, that person who told this person this thing, were they being helpful? I don't know. When they started quarreling about these words, did it bring this person up to God, or did it ruin this person? And the translation is catastrophe. It ruins the hearers. It brings catastrophe on us. Anytime we hear the word catastrophe in the news, how devastating is the news, the catastrophe? It's usually used when a whole city gets like rocked by earthquakes. It is a catastrophe. Imagine bringing catastrophe upon a person who is trying to seek after the Lord. That is not what a good, honorable vessel of the Lord should be doing. Friends, I don't want to overemphasize holiness at the expense of grace or vice versa, but I am saying that we should have a good understanding of our faith, and we should be holy, and we should be helpful and useful to the Master. So, and in verse 23, it does encourage us, have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies, like, well, should we be lukewarm or not? No, we shouldn't be lukewarm. But don't, like, use these words and take it out of context. Lastly, it talks about being ready. Now, I love this word ready, because also in, I believe in chapter 4, it talks about be ready in and out of season. Yes, that's right. It's up there. Good. The whole point isn't that there is a season to be ready and a season to not be ready. We are now in June, believe it or not, which means in July and August, it is summer, which most of us take as vacation time, which is fair. We like the nice weather in August or July. But does that mean that we are out of season in being a Christian? No, absolutely not. Now, the Leafs are in golf season. That's true. But I would wager that some of these athletes who are not in season, they're still training in the off season. Much like us, when we are in season, we are training, and we are out of season, we're still training. But what Paul is trying to say isn't that there is a season and an out of season. What he's saying is when it is convenient in season, and when it is not convenient out of season, still be ready to handle the truth. Which means for us, when it is convenient, yes, be that vessel. Yes, learn. Yes, be equipped. And even when it is not convenient for us, yes, learn, be equipped. Go and do likewise. And the idea of being ready isn't like, again, it's July, June, July, August, so there's probably wedding season coming up. I don't know if anyone's getting, like, as a bride, I don't think you're driving to the wedding and then thinking about what makeup you're wearing. No, you have that all ready to go. Grooms, similarly, you probably have your vows by then, right? It's not, oh, I'm going to go there and then maybe I'll get ready along the way. It's be ready now. Be a vessel for honorable use, ready now for every good work. That's the challenge. That's the challenge of a father whose spiritual son needs to hear this because the spiritual father is about to pass. You must be ready now. The urgency is now. So that being said, can we be ready and wholly set apart and useful for the Lord wherever we find ourselves? As we think about the relationships that we're in, whether we are in school or whether we're at work or whether we're in our families, or when we're on vacation? How are we being set apart? How are we being useful to the Lord? And are we being ready? Again, a very well put together Christian could look well put together, but are they truly on the inside ready to go? Paul is not asking us to just look like we're ready to go, to look like we are set apart. He is challenging us to actually be all of that. Lastly, let me end on this note. The reason why we do all of this is not for our own sake, obviously. We don't pretend to be Christians for the sake of our own joy. God calls us to more. A story that will always stick with me, it happens at a workplace. So this person, is there anyone named Mark in here? No. Okay, so I'm going to use the word under the name Mark, okay? Mark was not a Christian when he recently got a job, and so he's working, I believe, as an IT position. This was some years ago, so they still had jobs for IT people. So Mark was at this job, and he met these couple of people. They were Christian at the break room, and so they talked and all of that stuff, but he didn't know they were Christian. He just thought they were Christian because, yeah, they looked like the part. Cool, whatever. And so later on, he goes on. It's been a year now, and life is getting hard for Mark. Life is not that great, actually, for Mark. And this goes on for a couple of years. Eventually, Mark finds himself at some self-help thing, gets connected to a church somehow, and ends up going to the church. And amazingly, Mark comes to know who Jesus is. It's celebration, right? Like, this is amazing. This is awesome. His life has changed. Eternity for him is now way better than what it was before. And so he goes to work, and he's, like, super amped up, right? He's like, yeah, I have Jesus now. Like, I get it. Life is so much more than just IT work. And so he starts talking to these people, and he talks to these two people who he thought were Christian. And so he's like, hey, guys, like, I'm a Christian now. And these two guys are like, oh, really? That's amazing. Us too. Like, we've been waiting for you to say something about it. And this is a great story at this point, but Mark now says this instead. Instead of celebrating with them, Mark actually says, hey, like, I had an idea you guys were Christian. Why didn't you tell me about Jesus before? Like, you guys seemed like you were really nice people. I thought there was something there, but I'm not sure. Like, why didn't you tell me about Jesus before? I really could have used this good news before. I really could have used Jesus back a couple years ago when I was going through a lot. Like, what happened? And I resonate with that story so much because myself, when I was younger, before I knew Jesus, like, I wish I knew about Jesus a lot earlier. And a lot of us could probably benefit from knowing Jesus a little bit earlier than we did. God has his perfect timing, that's for sure. But I do wonder, when we are being honorable vessels and useful, set apart, are we doing what God calls us to? Or are we just being the vessel without pouring out? Somewhere along the way, I do feel that we must verbally tell of the gospel rather than just act it out. And the reason why we have to do that is because he challenges us. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone. Yes, that's good. Able to teach, that's good. Patiently enduring, but correcting his opponents with gentleness. And we do this not because it's good for us. We have to present the gospel so that God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, so that God may grant them. Perhaps he may. And they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Maybe God will do that, but we will never know if we don't say anything. Maybe God has put you in a position where you are today to be that vessel that brings the good news, not just by deed, but also by word. Maybe God has someone in mind for you. Again, because we're not doing this for our own sake. We do this for the King of Kings, who we get to be part heir of. We are part of the kingdom that is coming and is here now. And so, friends, as I end on this note, is there someone in mind for us? Is there someone that, you know, we've been a good Christian toward, but we may not have actually invited or made the invitation to anything? An invitation to come to church, an invitation to come to a fellowship group, an invitation to share your story of how good God is. Because at the end of the day, we can be a vessel for honorable use, or we can be a vessel of dishonorable use. I challenge us to grow deeper in our faith, to challenge ourselves this summer, perhaps, to learn something new about Christ, to learn something new about your faith. Pick a topic, apologetics. Hey, add Wesley Huff into your things. If you've added him, he's amazing. Apologetics Canada. Yeah? Yeah, Victor approves. Yes. If you have any questions about who to add, Victor's your guy. He knows. Yeah. yeah, add more into your vessel so that it will overflow, right? Be useful, be holy, be set apart, but also be someone who can go and do likewise. Friends, at this time, when we are reflecting on who we might have in mind to present the gospel to, I'm going to end in a word of prayer, but I will also now begin to lead us into communion. And so as I pray for us for this message, we shall pray, God, we thank you for opportunities that you give us to be your witnesses. Yes, indeed, we are vessels. Honorable vessels, dishonorable vessels, we are still vessels regardless. But the most important thing is that we are the clay and you are the potter. You have created us, you have formed us and shaped us, and you have filled yourself in us with the Holy Spirit. And so I ask that as we are considering where we might end up, with the relationships and the people we surround ourselves with, how might we be more of a useful, honorable vessel for your kingdom? God, we cannot do it alone, and so I ask that this church will come together and encourage one another in their new WhatsApp group to challenge each other, not by spamming everybody all the time, because we know that doesn't work, but to be wise in how we handle these things, to be wise in how we step out in faith every day, to make the use of our time, as the word of the Lord suggests. Father, help us also to take a good look inside the vessel and to see where we are. If there are things that we need to get rid of, Father, will you help us with that? If there are things we need to fill in more of you perhaps, Father, help us with that. Because we know that your love is far more than we could possibly imagine. We thank you for that, and we thank you for the forgiveness that you've given us, for the grace you have bestowed upon us. So, Father, may we receive more of that in the days to come, because you are so good. We thank you for all that you have done, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, friends, as we enter into a time of communion,